the idea of becoming specialized, getting a little bit more focused in your brand so that you can identify what you are really good at, that zone of genius. You can target a more focused audience instead of serving all of the people.
Welcome back to the B Word, guys. Today, I have got a super special guest for you. Malika and I met, oh gosh, now I think like a year and a half to 2 years ago. And it's just one of those friendships that's formed over time. Very, very, very respected in her industry. And I love to pick her brain about all things niching down. I don't know. Do you say niche? Do you say niche? It's up to you, apples, tomato, tomato, whatever. But Malika, I wanted to bring in today because one of the things we're talking a lot about this month in the studio, which is our monthly membership, is when you're developing the vision for your brand and you're developing that ideal client avatar, understanding how to niche that down is not where you're leaving money on the table. It is actually where you're going to make money. So Malika, I'm going to hand it off to you, girlfriend, and let you dive into your zone of genius because I want my entire audience to know how wonderful you are.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much, Joanne. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Malika Malhotra. I'm a brand strategist. I'm a mentor. I work with female entrepreneurs to help them nail their niche, just as you said, help them become specialists and really move away from being like that Jane of all trades where you're more generic and you're more mainstream and you're forgettable. You're not unforgettable. You're actually forgettable. You're blending in with everybody else. And so niching, niche, however you want to say it, is really the idea of becoming specialized, getting a little bit more focused in your brand so that you can identify what you are really good at, that zone of genius. You can target a more focused audience instead of serving all of the people. You can leverage what you're known for as your, you know, secret sauce, your superpower. And then lastly, you can identify a solution, a specialized solution that you get known for so that you get repeatable results. That's kind of my own signature formula for helping people find their niche. I call it the bullseye branding formula. But what it does, when you find your niche, really, it simplifies business. Let's be honest. We cannot be all the things for all the people. We cannot have all the offers, especially if you're a solopreneur. It's exhausting, right? You're going to be on your way to burnout. There's a capacity issue. And you might have to start different systems for different offers, for different targets. You'll have different messages, right? If you have different targets, different audiences. And it just becomes confusing. It becomes so labor intensive, and you're on your way to burnout. When you can embrace niching, and I know it's controversial, when you can keep an open mind and really be curious about the idea of niching, being a specialist, kind of lasering in on what you're already good at, looking at the data at hand, not just pulling a niche out of the air and being like, I'm going to do this. No, looking at intel and data and seeing how you can shape and carve a specific place in the marketplace for you, you're going to be able to grow your business faster.
Okay, girl. So let's talk about like one of the elephants in the room, the Jane of all trades. You know, I think one of the things as entrepreneurs we fear the most, especially if you're a little bit newer in your business, is there's not a lot of sales coming in. There's not a lot of revenue. And maybe you don't have a huge audience yet on Instagram or TikTok or wherever. And so the thought process is, well, if I niche down too soon, I am potentially leaving money on the table and I'm not reaching the audience that I want. So can you walk us through like your thought process behind how soon is too soon to niche down?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I believe that in your first year of business, you should work with everybody. You shouldn't be too niche. You should try different things. You should have different offers because you don't know what to niche in yet. You don't have the data at hand, right? You don't know what problems you can solve in the most efficient and optimized way. You don't know what clients are actually going to open up their wallets and pay you what you're worth. You do not know what you do better than everybody else. So you kind of have to experiment. You have to try different things. You have to collect the data and the intel. And after a year's time, that's when I see some of my clients sort of like getting burned out, or they kind of get stagnant, right? They wonder, why am I being overlooked? Why am I being undervalued? And that's where the time is to reassess your brand and maybe niche it, because you'll have enough experience under your belt to make more strategic decisions. You know, I do have clients that they come out of the gate and they're ready to niche. And that's great too, because it will just, you know, optimize and simplify. But I think it's good to kind of explore and experiment, because I believe the data is going to tell you where you should shape your brand. Often we look at the marketplace, often we look at what other people are doing, and sometimes we're too influenced by what other people are doing instead of really doing a lot of things, getting the data, and then asking ourselves some of those deep questions of, you know, what do I love to do? What do I do that comes so easy to me? What are people already picking my brain about, right? And that's going to help you develop that area of expertise. Looking at the offers that you're selling, which one actually creates the most revenue? Which ones are never sold, right? We have, often when we start, we have all of the offers because people come to us and they say, you should do this. And we're like, sure, we can do that. And then it never sells again. So really kind of with a fine tooth comb, going through your offers and maybe bundling things or maybe getting rid of things. Looking at your clients. We all have bad clients. And maybe we need to fire some of those clients, right? But really looking at your clients. Who got the best results? Who paid me without negotiating, asking for discounts? Who did I actually love to work with? And then when you can kind of create the profile of those, looking at how you can clone that person over and over again. So, you know, it is strategic. There are steps to the process. I think people often think, you know, I'm just going to pull a niche out of the air and just try it. You can do that, but it's not going to stick. We want niches that stick, that are relevant, that resonate, and that get results.
All right. So walk us through some of the steps of this process, if you don't mind, because I know here at Podcast Her, I mean, we pull out, we've named her lovingly Amanda. Amanda is my ideal avatar, and Amanda fits in our niche, and we pull out our client avatar booklet on a quarterly basis to continue refining, continue knowing who she is and what niche she falls in and what are her pain points. So, you know, maybe we're doing it wrong. Maybe we're doing it right. I don't know. You tell me what some of the steps are that I'm looking for when I'm diving that deep in.
Sure. I would love to. So here's the, you know, preliminary step before we get into my signature formula, because I want to keep this easy and understandable. So first step is ask yourself, what are you passionate about? What do you love to do? Because I want you to be able to work in your highest self, right? Where that excellence and that genius is. So asking yourself those hard questions, looking at the work you've done with clients and identifying, this is the work that I love to do. The second is, where is the problem in the marketplace? Where are people looking to have something solved? Maybe there's a gap. Maybe there's a new innovative way, right? So really thinking about that. What problem has not been solved in the marketplace? Because you have to solve a problem. Otherwise, it's going to be irrelevant, whatever you're doing, right? It's not going to resonate with people. So you have to know that there is a real problem that you need to solve. And then the last piece of that is, what are people willing to pay for? What are people willing to see the value in and actually open up their wallets to pay for? And when you can get that overlap, that sweet spot in the middle, what you love to do, what is the problem that you can solve, and what are people willing to pay for? That is the first step in trying to identify the niche that you can own for your brand. Then we can go into like the 2.0 version, which again is that bullseye branding formula that I mentioned, which is specialize, specify your standout and your solve. But really that first three steps that kind of like, think about it as that Venn diagram, right? And you're trying to find that middle spot of what I love to do, what people are going to pay for, and where there is still a problem in the marketplace.
Okay. So we're totally going to get into the bullseye in a minute, because I actually also have a method called the bullseye. So that's interesting. But first, I just have to tell you, because you know me, my brain goes in a million different directions. The minute you were like, what are people willing to pay for? And I'm thinking, but Malika, people will pay for anything. I mean, there are millionaires on OnlyFans who show their feet.
Yes, I get it.
So how do we really identify what our people are going to pay for that we're willing to produce?
Well, it's the value, right? You have to have like a strong value statement. You have to be offering them results. You have to have a process that you can take them through so that they understand what they're going to get at the end. So, you know, here's an example. I just heard this on a podcast. This guy was talking about, you know, every time I need to tie a tie, I go on YouTube and I see how to do that. You know, that's a problem I can't solve. There's an expert that's doing it, but I'm not going to pay someone to do that, right? So
right.
You have to really dive deeper in like, what is someone, the problem is so big and so deep that they are willing to pay because they can't do it for themselves and there's value. There is a desired result at the end that they want. And it takes time to figure that out. So, you know, developing your niche, defining or refining your niche isn't something that just, again, you can't pull it out of the air. You just slap it out and it's done. You have to ask yourself these hard questions. You have to do the research. You have to kind of assess and audit your own work, your own clients, the competitive marketplace to find what that sweet spot is. And even when you find that sweet spot, what I say is you need to commit to that for like a good, at least 3 months or I would say 6 months to go all in, develop your messaging around that sweet spot so that you're talking to that specific audience with that specific problem, with that specific solution to understand if it's going to resonate, if it's going to be sticky, if it's going to work for you. If you only do it for a month and then you go back to like being more broad and then you go back to being more targeted, that is not going to work for your brand. Consistency matters. And so once you get that sweet spot, once you've done the hard work, stick to it. It's not going to happen overnight, right? Good branding, powerful brands don't happen overnight. It is for the long game. And you know, after 3 months, after 6 months, you're going to revisit and see. You can tell, am I attracting quality clients, right? Am I attracting the people that have the problem that I'm saying that I can solve? I have been, myself, my own personal story, I started off as a brand strategist and I kind of was pretty broad, right? I can help women entrepreneurs, service-based, so I was a little specific in my market, but now I'm really positioning myself as the niche specialist, what we're talking about right now. I've created a signature methodology to help you get to find your niche. And all I talk about is niching day in and day out. I'm obsessed. And that work that I've done, now I'm getting tagged in Facebook groups whenever someone asks about niching. Now, when there is a panel or a summit and someone's looking for a niche expert, my name is being thrown into the mix, right? So you have to give it time and you have to have that consistency of showing up and going all in, right? In that area of expertise for that targeted market with that specific solution and methodology, and you'll see the benefits happen over time.
Yeah, I can completely agree with this and that resonates with me so much. I think that a lot of times where we as entrepreneurs kind of start to go wrong is we think we've maybe nailed the niche and then we start talking about other stuff or we start trying to broaden back again to bring people into the niche. And I think we forget a lot of times that although you may have said it a million times, your audience necessarily hasn't heard it a million times.
Yes.
So we're broadening out, I think a lot of times out of boredom, you know, like we're tired of hearing ourselves say the same thing over and over again. But being consistent, I mean, that's just one of those things that whether you're growing Instagram or a podcast or your brand or your niche, consistency does matter. You have to do things over and over and over again. Have you read that book, The Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell?
I haven't read it, but I know I've heard of it. Yes, for sure.
Oh, girl, I'm going to send you the book. So the book is all about how, you know, people that are geniuses in their zone, like what they do really, really well. And they put more than 10,000 hours into that one thing. And that's when they become known for. And it's not necessarily that they put the work in, but they put the work in and let others know that they're putting the work in. And that's when they get brought into things. So really what it's telling you how to do is build a brand. But I love it for so many reasons. I'm totally going to send you a copy of it.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think you made a good point before, like you were talking about boredom, why people don't want a niche. And I think it's boredom, but it's also fear. Like it is safe to talk to everyone. It is just comfortable to talk to everyone. Mm-hmm. But I think the risk is you have a mediocre brand. And in my mind, there's no place for mediocrity. Like, we want to be leaders. We want to be experts. And so doing the work, the hours in that zone of genius, you become a master. Why wouldn't you want to be working in your zone of genius? Why wouldn't you want to be seen as a leader and an expert and a master? Why would you want to be mainstream just because it feels safe? So like, when people say that to me, like, oh, I want to help everyone. I get it. You probably can, but why not help people in such a deep and impactful way because you're a master, and do that on repeat and help more and more and more people and get known? Your brand will build this reputation where you become the only and obvious choice for that lane that you're in. And you become in a league of your own because you're no longer in this mainstream of cookie cutter service providers. I don't want to be a service provider. I want to be a niche specialist that's going to help women entrepreneurs become leaders and be able to charge more money and have more impact. Just the power behind that. It's a confidence boosting thing. So it kind of like, it makes me crazy when I hear people like afraid to do that. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Oh my gosh. You guys, I want you to like pause right now. Rewind your episode about 15 seconds because I want you to rehear what Malika just said. She literally just gave you her tagline for her business. I want to be the niche specialist for female entrepreneurs. You know why? She could absolutely nail down her tagline, all her content pillars, everything that her brand and her business is about. It's because she's niched down that far. So I will also tell you, if you're struggling with what to talk about on Instagram, what to talk about on your podcast, you don't really know what one-liner to put on your Instagram bio or your website, it's probably because you haven't niched down in order to truly understand for you who you're serving and how you're serving them.
Yes. And you know what? It is liberating once you've figured it out, because it makes marketing so much easier and simpler, because it's like you're now writing this love letter to this very specific target that has a very specific problem, and you have a specific expertise to give them a specific solution. And so now there's no confusion. Now everything is tailored to this person. So they feel like they're being seen and heard and valued, and that brand loyalty increases. So niching will not only help you deepen the connection with your prospect, but then the referrals, the network building that comes with it, because you're so specific and you're not just being thrown in the mix of every other photographer, every other podcaster, every other speaker, author, coach. Oh my God. When people introduce themselves and they say, I am a life coach, period. I'm like, what? You know, like, no. Tell me, are you a life coach for, you know, executive women in the C-suite who are trying to break through the ceiling? Are you a life coach for women in empty nest whose children left and now you're trying to redefine your life? Like, get specific, paint the picture, give me some context.
Oh, okay. So my trigger along with that is when people come to me and they're like, oh, I help mompreneurs. Which one? The ones of toddlers? The ones of high schoolers? The mompreneurs who started their business and now their kids have gone to college and they're empty nesters. Like, there's so many different seasons of that. For me, it's the life coach issue. It's the mompreneur. I'm like, yes, the mamas, they need us, but different ways and different seasons. And so I'm like, God bless it. You've almost niched down, but you're not quite there.
Yeah. They need our help.
They need our help. Okay. So let's talk about help. Let's dive into for a few minutes here on your bullseye methodology, because I want you to give our listeners just that taste of that so that they can start to take action and implement.
Yeah. So I created this framework because it is very hard for people to really determine and define their niche because it feels overwhelming. And so I split it into four steps. And the first step again is the specialize. We really want to move away from being this generic brand and really step into the leadership that comes with specialization, for being known for something. So this is where you have to start auditing your work, right? Asking yourself, what do you love to do? Looking at what offers actually sell and what don't, and determining what is the commonality? What are the patterns here? You know, where is it pointing me to that says is my area of expertise? So, you know, for me as a brand strategist, you know, when I did this work on myself, I noticed like the best work that I was doing, the one that got the results, the one that people were talking about, was in niching. So why wasn't I talking about niching? Why was I keeping it so broad with brand strategy? So you want to claim your specialty. It's like, you know, general practitioner doctors versus a heart surgeon, right? So heart surgeons get paid more because they have more value, have more specialization. So think of yourself, your business in that way. What can you specialize in? The next step is moving away from saving the world and actually thinking about a specific audience, who you are meant to serve, right? A targeted audience. Painting that picture of not just a mompreneur, but tell me more, a mompreneur with young children who has an online business that, you know, something else, you know, tell me more about that person. Is it a demographic? Is it a psychographic? Explain and describe that specific person so that when you are sharing this in your elevator pitch, people say, that's me, or they say, I know that person. You know, when it falls flat and you're not giving enough of the detail of the specific audience, it's in one ear, out the other. Yep. So get specific and don't be afraid to get specific. It's just going to help your business. The third step is stand out. This is the hardest question. I get this asked all the time. How do I figure out how I can be differentiated from the competition? It's hard, right? So you really have to dive deep and look into, is it my process? Is it my personality? Is it my sense of purpose, mission, vision, values? Is it the deliverables? Is it the experience? Maybe it's a geographic region, right? There's so many ways. You just have to really dive deep and try to figure out, how do you stand out? You might have to ask your clients, why did you pick me over others? Another tip, maybe you can go into your testimonials and read through your testimonials to find out what made them choose you over somebody else, right? So get very clear, because that layer of that standout quality is going to help as you specialize and as you specify. Then the last step is the solve. Do you have a methodology? I'm sharing my bullseye branding experience. This is going to help niche and specialize and differentiate my brand. But what do you have? Do you have a process? Maybe your solution is your niche. Maybe you're a web designer that only does WordPress, right? Maybe you're a financial advisor that uses a certain type of framework, profit first, right? Maybe that's how you help your clients. That's going to help niche your business. So it's really great when you can do all four to really get really, really refined and focused and precise. That's the brand that you want to build. Now, I know the next question, it always happens, is now when you find that niche, can you still help people that are not in your niche? And so that's where kind of the bullseye visual comes. You have your bullseye, but there are rings around the bullseye. And you might have prospects that come to you that are not in the center, but are in the rings because they like your vibe, or, you know, they've heard you had great results, or they heard you on a podcast. But then that's your decision, right? It's a very empowering place to be in if you want to choose to work with those people outside of the niche. But you are not changing your offer, your messaging, to appeal to those people. It's still very focused on the niche, but you could appeal to other people outside of the niche.
Yeah, you know, when I ran the real estate team, one of the things that we niched down into was a certain price point of buyer. And we weren't even niching into the seller, the listings. It was literally the price point of the buyer. And my entire brokerage thought I was crazy when I first started doing this, because they, you know, in the world of real estate, maybe they're worse than some other industries on the we'll work with anybody. But my brokerage was like, you are going to lose so many clients by only focusing on this particular price point. And I said, well, let's see what happens. And so we spent 2 years focusing on this price point. And Malika, you know what we found? What we found is our sales actually exploded, because we were so good in that price point that anyone in that price point came to us, but so did all their friends.
Right.
In all different price points. or their kids buying their first home. So then I took an agent on my team and I said, okay, I need you because you have a heart for the young, you know, condo dweller, the newly married, the just buying their first home. Let's niche you down in that price point. And so she niched down into only first time home buyers, specifically newlyweds who were, you know, just getting married and starting off their life. And like her business exploded because they referred her to all their friends, and their friends, older friends or married friends, or now their friends are having babies and need something bigger. And so like the business exploded just because instead of going wide, we went deep.
Yes.
In specific little areas.
That is such a great example.
So wild to watch.
Yeah. And what I love about that is that when you niche, so you have that real estate agent that niched down to first time home buyers, right? So now it makes it easier for them not only to speak to that client, but look at alliances and partnerships. They could speak to wedding planners, right? So people, they just had their wedding, and then you have a collaboration so they could send you clients. Who are the other partners that have that same defined niche? Instead of talking to everyone and kind of having the energy to try to make those relationships, and yeah, maybe one out of 10 was going to work. But if you're so niche and finite and precise, you'll have 8 out of 10. Because you have that aligned audience, a similar audience. And so niching is not just about the leads and the prospects and the clients. It's about the relationships and the referrals and the network.
Yep.
And the reputation that you're going to build for your brand.
Love that. All right, let's build your network, Malika. I know that you have a community that you pour into. Where can my audience go to connect further and deeper with you as they start to really hone in on this niching?
Yes. Well, I love to be on Instagram, so I love to send people to connect with me there. My handle is at MalikaMalhotra.co, which I know is a mouthful, but hopefully there'll be a link somewhere here.
Oh, we'll put a link.
But that's where you can, yes, that's where you can find me. I'm always on that platform. I'm sharing content and stories and talking all things about brand strategy and niching.
All right, guys, you heard it first here on the B Word. You know, I'm always coming at you with the best referrals to build your business. When you're ready, and you should be ready like yesterday, to really niche down into your brand, go visit Malika. I can personally endorse her. I'll see you next time, same place.
You just finished another episode of the B Word podcast. Cheers to you. If I were with you, I would literally pop a big old bottle of Prosecco and pour you a glass. Since I'm not, why don't you do the next best thing and share this episode with one of your besties? Because we all know you've got that one girlfriend that needs to hear it. Thanks, friends.